I want to read from Matthew chapter 1, and this is always a text at Christmas time. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. But we're going to look at it from just a little different perspective here this morning. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, out of this Christmas account, which is always read over and over again, we hear it at Christmas time, in sermons, in songs, on Christmas cards. And, of course, baby Jesus, that's the central message and the theme of the Christmas story. Then secondarily, it's Mary and her position as being chosen of God. The Bible calls her twice, highly favored of the Lord. But then sometimes, kind of in the background, is Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, Joseph was the father that was chosen by God to be the earthly father of his only begotten son, Jesus. Now, there's a lot of significance to that. We want to talk about it for just a few minutes here this morning. Every parent probably has had to give consideration to the fact, if something happened to me, if something happened to parents when their children are young, a lot of parents have given consideration to that and thought, who would be the right person to take care of my children? Sometimes those that are very responsible parents, they do a will. And when they make a will, they include in that last will and testament their preferences. Who would take care of my children if mother and father was somehow tragically taken out of the picture? As a matter of fact, over the years, we've had relatives, which would have been the sum total of 10 children, if they would have tragically been taken out, then Marcia and I would have inherited 10 more kids. And so I'm so thankful that the Lord had mercy and that they're still living today. But that's exactly what God the Father did. He chose not only Mary to be this highly favored mother of the Christ child, the Messiah, but he also chose Joseph to be the father, to be responsible for the family, to be the earthly father, the earthly one that was responsible for Jesus. And it's a pretty amazing and an awesome thought that Joseph was chosen by God, because Mary was already espoused to be married to Joseph. And so in choosing Mary, he also was choosing Joseph to become this father, earthly father of Jesus. A lot of reasons why he was chosen. Now, you can look to a lot of different people to be role models, mentors. You can look to people, and sad to say, most people today, they lift up as almost idols people that are, you know, maybe sports figures or Hollywood people, entertainers, and a lot of different people. And sometimes those people are people that have terrible morals. They live terrible, ungodly lives, but that yet they get lifted up as role models, someone that is to be followed. But God, whenever he chose a father, an earthly father for Jesus the Messiah, he chose Joseph. And here's the reason why, some of the reasons why that he did. I think just as Joseph was of the lineage of Abraham, that you can go back and see why that he was chosen, and that even as Abraham was chosen. Here was God's opinion of Abraham. He said, I can't even keep a secret from Abraham. I can't do something and keep a secret from him. Seeing that this is Genesis 18 and 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Now, we don't hear a lot in the scripture about Joseph, but I just want to look at a few of the character traits and the attributes of Joseph that remind us of why that God chose Joseph. And then all of you dads, like me, we all recognize, I mean, I had a good dad. Many of you had fathers that you admired and that you are grateful for. But even with the best of dads, and even as good as you are here today, we've all got a lot of room for improvement. We've got a lot of room for improvement and a lot of areas in our life where we can step up and do better and learn. And I think we can look at Joseph as an example of the kind of father that we need to aspire to be. Amen. Praise God. Now, Joseph, he was a role model, and as I said, he was oftentimes forgotten. He was kind of like, did his work in the background. Well, you can read the gospel account in Matthew and the gospel account in Luke, and you'll not find one word that Joseph spoke. He didn't say he was a man of few words, and he didn't have that much to say. He was just there. Sometimes fathers are like that. They are just kind of quietly working behind the scenes and doing and fulfilling their responsibilities without a lot of appreciation or fanfare. They just stay at it and fulfill their duty. That was the kind of dad that I had. He was quiet. I mean, we might go a whole evening or several evenings, and my dad wouldn't say a word. He was quiet spoken. He didn't have much to say. But early in the morning, he was up, and he was ready. He was going to work, and he worked faithfully all those years to provide for his family. He worked all those years to influence our lives and to protect us from a lot of things. I didn't have, as a child or as a young person, I didn't have the appreciation for him. I just thought, well, he's just quiet spoken, doesn't have much to say. But now I look back and I see some of those wonderful qualities that he had. And he worked faithfully, even when sometimes no one notices. Dad, sometimes your job is just to be faithful when it seems like nobody's looking. Nobody's noticing. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that maybe no one else is appreciating or sees the sacrifices and the work that you do, but the eyes of the Lord are always on you. And God is always on you. His eyes are watching you. Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. It's an encouraging thing to know that God is keeping count. And God is observing what's going on in your life. As I said, Joseph's work was a large part behind the scenes. He didn't have a lot to say. didn't talk all that much, but he was a man of action. When there came time, when the time came, rather, for him to do the will of God, to do what he was called to do, he didn't stop at all. But he was ready to move forward and to do the things that God was speaking to him to do. And so we don't see him talking a lot, but we do see him listening to God. We do see him moving his family at the voice of the Lord from location to location as God commanded. We see him struggling sometimes with his own fears and concerns that he had in his life, but he was just steady and faithful and willing to do what the Lord had asked him to do. Oftentimes, it is our actions that speak much louder than our words. Amen? And so, just be faithful. Just stay in that place of duty and responsibility as Joseph did. Do what the Lord commanded him to do. And don't worry about it. You know, it's a safe thing to not be a person of a lot of words. This is biblical. It's safe. Amen. To be careful what you say. Amen. Proverbs 21 and 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, fruitfulness. But of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Be a person that gives consideration, that gives a lot of thought to decisions. Ask the Lord. Wait before the Lord. Be a man of God that seeks God and asks God for wisdom and for direction in your life. And your thoughts and your ponderings before the Lord will lead to your fruitfulness. Amen. Proverbs 29 and 20. Seest thou a man hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him. Amen. The best thing to do in many cases is just to kind of step back, give some time, give some thought, give some prayer, give some consideration before you speak. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to give you some good biblical foundation for this. The right thing to do is be cautious and careful and don't be hasty to speak, but give time, give consideration, and wisdom will lead you to give time and to wait before God before you speak. Ecclesiastes 5 and 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Amen. So just back up. You don't have to say a lot of things. Joseph was a man of few words recorded at all in the scripture, but he was a central figure in the life of Jesus Christ, his earthly life. And we have to remember that for 30 years, Jesus was pretty much just in obscurity. And most of that time, and we don't really know how long, but a lot of those years, no doubt under the teaching, the training of his father, Joseph. Amen. In one place in the Gospels, Jesus is referred to as the son of that carpenter, the son of the carpenter. Another place in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is referred to as a carpenter himself. And Brother Jones talked about that last week in the service as he dealt with the entire topic of Jesus, the carpenter. But all of that influence of his dad, his earthly father, that God the Father had placed him in the home of Joseph so that he would be the chosen one to direct Jesus. Amen. That was the kind of person that he was. I you know, if you let your mind run wild, how unbelievable it is to consider that Joseph is teaching his little boy his trade as a carpenter, all the while Jesus was the Son of God who just spoke all the worlds into existence and created all everything that was. And here is Joseph teaching the Son of God how to use a hammer and how to use these tools and how to build things. It's an irony that God placed him where he was and for all those years that he would be called a carpenter. Now, there's much to be said about fathers passing on the work ethic to their children. Amen. Pass it on to your children. One of the ways that you can do that, obviously, is don't hand out money so freely. I guess that was one of my dad's rules. I mean, I don't remember going to my dad and saying, "Dad, I need 20 bucks," or, you know, I already knew the answer. I knew it wasn't going to happen unless it was something urgent and something absolutely necessary. I knew it wasn't going to happen. But I watched and I observed that my dad was faithful to work. Faithful to work. And the reward of the labor was money. If you work, you get a hold of a little bit of money. And I learned that as a young boy and started, things like mowing grass and working. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. People that are looking for employees, they're looking for somebody that knows how to work. That's what they're looking for. If you're a worker, you will always be able to find jobs because people are looking for people for work. One of my hobbies, as I'm around town often and my wife gets tired of it, I know, because I'll say, "Look at there, help wanted, help wanted." All over town, help wanted. There's a job right there for somebody if they want it. And all over town, they're everywhere. If you want a job, you can go to work because employers are looking for work. So we need to train our children and to help them to see the value of work. Amen. And I think that was one of the lessons that was going on there, one of the examples that was being given there as Joseph taught Jesus this trade, this work ethic, that even the Son of God would spend the majority of his earthly life in labor, laboring with his hands, is a demonstration of how important that God believes that we are to involve ourselves in labor. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could go on with this. Maybe I will just a little bit further. I wanted things as a kid, and so I knew that I had to work for it. As I said, I would mow grass, I would do whatever task, I would have an opportunity. Our next door neighbor saw me mowing grass. He was the janitor at the school. He was needing someone to help him. So he comes over to me one day, and I'm about 10 years old, 11 years old. "You want to work for me?" "Yes, I want to work for you." So every day for years, maybe four or five years, I don't remember how long, I would go and I would work after school and clean those schoolrooms and clean the cafeteria and take out the trash, bring down the flags and all of those things that have to be done at the end of the day. And when I would get paid, I would buy things that I wanted. That was the fruit of the labor. And because my dad wasn't going to give it to me. And so I would work and I would earn it. And it was an important lesson to learn. Amen. Not only was this work ethic taught, but Joseph was the Bible says he was a just man. If you can imagine the humiliation when he learned that Mary, his espoused wife, was expecting a baby. And he knew this baby was not his baby, and the embarrassment of it, and the immediate response, the natural response would have been retaliation. "I'm going to get back at her for what she has done to me." But Joseph was chosen by the Heavenly Father because he knew the demeanor and the character of Joseph. And he knew that he loved Mary and he did not want to embarrass her, hurt her. He was a just man. And so he decided, "I'm going to divorce her. I'm going to put her away, but I'm going to do it privately, quietly. And instead of bringing it bringing it to the public. And if that happened, then likely she would have been stoned to death. And obviously he was a just man and he loved Mary. And he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, I believe that he kept on loving her, even in his fear, even in his humiliation in the circumstance that he was in. I believe that God knew that Joseph was going to be that kind of a man. The Bible says that he was a just man. It just means he was a righteous man. God knew that Joseph would do the right thing. Amen. Sometimes there are things that you can do. You can legally do them or even biblically do them, but it might not necessarily be the thing that you should do at that particular time. Just because you have the right to do it may not necessarily mean that you should do it. And that was Joseph, a just man who loved Mary. He didn't want to put her away publicly. Even though he was humiliated, and most men would have wanted out of anger to get back at her for what she had done to embarrass him. But instead, he loved her and he did the right thing. This was the kind of father that was chosen by God. The Bible says he was afraid because when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, the Bible says that that was the first message that that angel gave to him. Don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. This thing that has happened to her is of the Holy Ghost. She is with child of the Holy Ghost. And even though he was fearful, and honestly, fear and caution is a good attribute to develop in your life. Not fear of circumstances, but the right kind of reverence and caution before the Lord. Notice that he was thoughtful. He thought on these things. He pondered on these things. But then the Lord came to him in a dream and told him, don't be afraid to do what I've commanded you to do. One of the most amazing attributes of Joseph was that he listened to God and he obeyed the voice of God. He did what the Lord told him to do. Men of God can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things with your life, but it's so important that you be in tune and that you are listening to the voice of the Lord and that you obey the voice of God in your circumstance. God knew that Joseph would be trustworthy, that he would listen to the voice of God, he would obey the voice of God, and preserve the life of baby Jesus. Amen. And do whatever was necessary. And there's no way that he could have known that what went ahead for him was, you know, moving from his home, that he was going to be running for fear of the life of his baby. He had no idea all these things that were going to transpire. He just heard the voice of God and he obeyed the voice of the Lord. We've been called of God, men, to be in tune with God, to listen to the voice of God. I'm not saying that wives and mothers can't hear from God, because they certainly can. But God can speak through fathers and husbands to give direction, to give wisdom, to point the way that you should go, your life, your family, for your preservation. God often works and speaks through the father, through the husband, if you'll listen to the voice of God. Amen. The Bible says he listened. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. Do you know that obedience always comes with a cost? To obey always comes with a cost. This week, one of the most admired Christian ladies that over the many years that I've read after and listened to her many times, Elizabeth Elliot, passed away, 88 years old. And she talked so much about this topic of obedience, how important it was to listen to the voice of God. I think it's just incredible to me that after her husband and the others with him were speared to death by these Aka Indians, that within a couple of years, Elizabeth and her little baby girl move right into that same village, live in a dirt floor hut, and spend, I think it's a year and a half, something between a year and 2 years, teaching them and even translating the scriptures so that they could have the word of God. And she went right back there, and there are pictures of her with the very man that speared Jim Elliot, who became a man of God and a spiritual leader in that village. Unbelievable. How could you ever forgive? How could you ever do that? It was only as she followed that path of obedience to God that God's name was honored and glorified. And through tragedy and through the horribleness of that tragedy, she was able to be used of the Lord. And to forgive. Wasn't that an amazing thing? This week, down in Charleston, at the hearing of that young man that murdered those innocent people in the church the other night. At the hearing, they asked some of the family if they wanted to say anything. And one of the ladies, who I think it was either her mother or her grandmother that was murdered, she said, "I forgive you." That's what she said to that young man. "I forgive you for what you have done." I don't know if I could do that. Hopefully by the grace of God that we can. There is a cost to the life of obedience. There is a cost if you do what the Lord calls you to do. Only one other time in the life of Jesus do we see Joseph. We know Joseph was with Mary and with the family going back to Jerusalem to hunt for Jesus after he's missing. And they go back and they find him with the doctors and the lawyers. And Jesus, at 12 years old, speaks to his father and says, "Don't you know that I must be about my father's business?" Joseph knew already that Jesus was in a pathway that was going to lead him to the cross, that was going to lead him to suffering, but eventually was going to provide hope and salvation for all the world. We don't see Joseph anymore. Somewhere after that Jesus was 12 years old and his earthly ministry began, Joseph disappears, no doubt has died, and is not there in the family anymore because Jesus has taken on the responsibility of his mother. And at his crucifixion, he's delegating the responsibility for his mother to his brethren. And so we know that somewhere along the line, Jesus is just daily doing the work of a carpenter, following the example of his father, being obedient to his father's will, doing what he was called to do. We have all been called, men, to listen and obey. To listen and obey. Sometimes it means crucifying your flesh and what you would normally want to do. You have to remember that Joseph was a young man whenever he went back and after the dream. And the Bible says that he took Mary to be his wife. But he was not with her as a husband and a wife until after Jesus was born. This is a young man. This was a young man who was committed to obey God. This is a young man who disciplined himself to do the right thing, even though he had to crucify his own fleshly desires. It was absolutely necessary that he be obedient to God. And God knew that Joseph was that kind of man. He was that kind of father. So we look in this example in the scripture and we can see that he's the kind of man that we need to follow in his steps. We need to let Joseph be a role model. We can step up and be a father like he was. Now the normal response to a child, a man child, being born in a Jewish home would be to name him after the father. And the Bible says that God had given to him the command. He's going to be born. And when he is born, you, Joseph, you will call his name Jesus. You're going to be the one that's going to name him. You're not going to name him after yourself. You're going to name him as I have commanded you. The pathway of obedience is one of sacrifice. The pathway of obedience is one of self-denial. Take up your cross. Follow the Lord. Do what God has called you to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of character that he was. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a man who loved his family and loved his wife. He was a man that listened to the voice of God, who was thoughtful, who gave consideration, who pondered his decisions, and who obeyed the Lord immediately, even though there was the price that had to be paid. Amen. Dads, I believe we can learn a lot. We can learn a lot from the father that was chosen by the Lord. I think most every dad wants to do better. We'd like to live up to the things. My girls, you know, they've written things, you know, on Facebook and put my picture on there, like when I was a young dad, and talked about, you know, all these good qualities that I had. And all I could think of was, can I live up to all that? Can I live up to that? Is it possible for me to do that? And now there's the whole new responsibility of 9 grandchildren for us. Now I have a responsibility to them. Responsibility. What are you going to be remembered for? What's going to be the legacy of your life? Hopefully it will be that you knew God, you served God, and you lived your life to please God. Amen. The most honorable thing that you can do. Amen. Once again, I'd like to ask all the dads, if you would stand. I know that many of you, like me, your dad has already passed away, already gone. And many of us have good memories of faithful dads. We're grateful for that. That might not be your memory. That might not have been your experience. But I want you to know, I just want to remind you here today, that you're a dad and you can make some decisions to be a godly dad. You can decide to leave a legacy of godliness and righteousness. I watched a little message online of Elizabeth Elliot talking about how that even though she lived away from her grandchildren, how that she kept connection with them and writing them letters individually and talking to them and expressing the things of God to them and how much that she loved them. And I thought, I've never written my grandkids a letter, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I want to try to invest in their lives. I don't see them that much, but surely, dads, we can do more. We can do more to influence them as righteous, godly men. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've already prayed early in the service for all of these dads. But families, if you have a family member close by or someone that you'd like to just step over and pray with one of these dads. Dad, you might not have any of your own family here, but someone can step over and pray with you. As we desire to be better dads, godly dads, and to follow a Bible example of what it is to be a man of God. Could we pray before we leave this service today? And let's step over, walk over, and pray for each one of these fathers that are standing here this morning. Amen. Would you be willing to do that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we're grateful. We're grateful, Lord.